Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, whom we ever strive to keep him uppermost in our minds, hearts, and lives, dear fellow redeemed. Does the Bible contradict itself? Did Jesus, who is the incarnate Word, ever contradict himself in his teachings? Well, there are Bible critics and detractors who make the fallacious claim that there are contradictions in the Bible. We can thank God that he has given us the conviction that we know and understand that there are absolutely no contradictions in the Bible from beginning to end. Whenever questioners or naysayers make the faulty claim of there being contradictions in God's Word, it can be due for a variety of reasons. Some revelations on the surface sound like they conflict with other parts of the Bible. But upon further examination and study, it can be clearly seen that there is no conflict whatsoever. Still others' cases involve individuals who don't like certain teachings in the Bible. And so they say, well, you know, there is an error that crept into the Bible when it was written, and therefore this is something that we don't have to pay any attention to and just don't observe it, don't follow it. What Jesus tells us in the opening words of our text is one of those places upon first hearing kind of scratch our head and we wonder, this doesn't sound like Jesus and what he was like. Our text starts with Jesus saying to us, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. How could Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, tell us he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword? We know and rejoice in the wonderful fact that Jesus' primary mission was to bring peace. On the night of Jesus' birth, the angels could be heard in the heavens above, on the hillside beyond Bethlehem, glorifying and praising God by saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus came to earth as a little baby to bring to sinful mankind peace. As our Savior from sin, Jesus blesses us with spiritual peace through the knowledge and faith and his gift of forgiveness of sins that we have through him, with peace of conscience. Also, through the same priceless gift, we enjoy a peaceful coexistence with God. He's not angry with us when we are guilty of sin, nor does he intend to punish us on account of our sinfulness. And the ultimate peace that our Savior Jesus blesses us with is the everlasting, perfect peace of heaven. So yes, Jesus did come to bring peace as a Prince of Peace. And since it was his primary mission to bless us with this extraordinary gift, why does he say in our text that he didn't come to bring peace, but rather a sword? The answer lies in what happens in our relationship when we believe in the Lord and are committed to following all his words and teachings, but those we're acquainted with or related to are not willing to go along with everything that Jesus said and taught. They're not willing to stand with him in those cases. It is the disagreement over the words and teachings of the Lord can cause a breakdown in human relationships and disrupt a peaceful coexistence with them. A good example of this was found in the early church. When the New Testament church began, the vast majority of them were Jews, Jews who were converted to Christianity. Well, not all the Jews converted to Christianity. There were those who rejected Christ and his teachings. But the problem was, the unbelieving Jews didn't like it when their family confessed Christ. They got angry with them. They turned against them. They ostracized them from their family. And not only that, they instigated the rounding up of Jewish Christians who even were their family members and carted them off to prison and even caused them to be put to death. When we hear of these cases in church history, it makes complete sense when we hear Jesus say, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." We can also see how there can be situations where close relatives set themselves up against one another concerning the teachings of the Bible. While the teachings of God's Word can unite people in their minds and in their hearts and in their lives, nevertheless, when individuals reject his teachings, their sinful hearts can cause them to be set up against a confessor of the truths of God. Yes, even family members. Sadly, opposition from relatives over religious teachings is one of those crosses that we're called upon to bear as Christians for Jesus' sake. The loss of peace between family members, even to the point of violence, over differences of beliefs, continue to this day. Extreme cases of this nowadays are not found among the Jews, but rather among Muslims. You probably are well aware of the fact that some of those Muslim countries have laws that make it illegal to be converted to Christianity. And if someone does convert to Christianity, family members who are Muslims, they turn against their family, they have them arrested and even have them put to death. Of those cases reported in the news of Muslims converted to Christianity, I haven't heard of one case that they were unwilling to continue to confess Christ, even in the face of opposition, persecution, and even death. Why is that? They didn't want to give up what they received through Jesus, the gift of forgiveness, peace with God, the gift of eternal life. That was too precious to them for them to renounce their Christian faith, even if they were put to death for it. This is where Jesus' paradoxical saying in verse 39 comes into play, where he declares, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." The finder of life is one who is frightened to lose his life as a Christian, and therefore he denies Christ to save his skin. And then he loses, in so doing, he loses his life with God as one of his children. The one who loses his life for Jesus' sake ends up finding it, because he enters into the realm of eternal life in heaven. So this is one of those statements by Jesus, boy, this sounds contradictory. But when you study it further, you can understand he's not contradicting himself. Well, we're not faced with such extreme cases in our country of losing our life for Jesus' sake. Still, we can encounter loss of peace in the family when a relative does not faithfully hold to the teachings of God's word or has chosen a lifestyle that conflicts with the teachings of God. When and where this happens, how do we respond to it? The temptation is to keep peace in the family by compromising our beliefs found in the Word of God, by overlooking differences or embracing faulty teachings. In situations where loved ones have decided to live a sinful manner, the temptation is to remain silent about it and not rebuke or reprove, or to accept what they're doing and try to justify it by saying, "This is okay with God. He has no problem with the way you're living." If we're tempted to compromise our beliefs by going along with error or sinful behavior and then try to justify it, remember the saying of Jesus in our text where he said in verse 40, "He receives you, receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Speaking to his disciples, he said, "Now you are going out as my spokesman. And as you are proclaiming the truths of God, and people receive it, they accept it, they're not just receiving and accepting you, they're accepting Jesus and the Heavenly Father who sent Jesus to reveal truths." Now, if you encounter people who are not willing to receive those teachings, they're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting the Lord. So what does Jesus say to us if we were to give way to some temptations for the sake of peace in the family? In verses 37 and 38, he says to us, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." By compromising the Word of God in order to keep peace in the family, we are in effect showing a greater attachment to family than to God. We make them more important to us than our Lord. This would be a violation of God's foremost command of loving Him above all others. If ever we place family above God, may God have mercy upon us and lead us to repentance so that we can find forgiveness in Jesus. Whenever a family member were to fall prey to false beliefs or sinful lifestyle, rather than trying to keep peace by going along with this, wouldn't it be showing love to God and to our family to try to help them see the error of their ways? In so doing, we would be helping them in establishing and building a lasting relationship with God, wherein is found spiritual and eternal peace. This is the kind of peace that we want for ourselves and we want for our family, all of our family. In those situations where we have to choose sides, either to be with God or our relatives, we need to answer, why would I stand with God rather than my family? To begin with, as children of God, He's our Lord and our Master, our Maker. And yet greater still is our motivation to side with God because of His tremendous, unconditional love that He showed us in Christ. God the Father sent His only begotten Son into this world to be the sin bearer of all sinful mankind and to suffer our punishment on the cross. This was a great sacrifice that God made for us miserable sinners. God did this so that each day, without fail, when we don't show greater love for God than anyone else, we can find forgiveness through Jesus. Yes, Jesus came to this world to bless us with spiritual and eternal peace as our Savior. But when we become His followers by believing in Him, we can anticipate times when our peaceful relationship with others, even with family, will break down and will be opposed by them. This is bound to happen when we're willing to accept all the words and teachings of Christ and not another. The loss of peace over God's word is one of those crosses that we're called upon to bear as Christians. Jesus was willing to bear our sins and suffer our punishment on the cross. And so because of that, we're willing to bear any Christian cross that is laid to bear upon us. Thanks be to God who blesses us with spiritual and eternal peace through our Savior Jesus Christ. May we never lose that peace, but ever hold on to it by confessing Jesus by faith and faithfully following after His words and His teachings. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.